Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 19 years now, and we thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for this radio station and for all the prayers and provision and for you, the listener. And we hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about part two in our series on the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we hope you tuned in last week and heard the first part of this message. I'm going to review just a little bit of it, and then we'll go on to John chapter 15, which is the most comprehensive, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, the most comprehensive passages in the Bible that Jesus taught on the Holy Spirit. And so you can open up your Bible. We'll start in John 14, 16. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to get into the message here in just a minute. First, I want to give you a brief update what's happening here in Africa. Had a bit of a political earthquake here in Africa. The deputy president, the vice president, was impeached. And so that's shook up the landscape here a bit in Africa. As far as our ministry, a great thing has happened with the political front. They've dropped a bill where they were going to try to regulate all the churches in Kenya. Great number of tedious and minute regulations was proposed for all the churches in Kenya. And so they have dropped that, and it is going to be scuttled. It's not going to go through. And so that's a great praise and hallelujah for the pastors and the churches here in Kenya. Our children are all in school. They have about one more week, and then they'll be off for the rest of the year. The fall term will be concluded. And so we'll have all the children home in about a week, and they'll be here at the home until January 1st. So that's what's going on. We're looking for another piece of land to join a piece that we already have. We'll have 2 acres then together, and we want to build a preschool, a primary school there up through grade 8. And so pray with us on that. And you can also be a part of that if you want to make a contribution. We're going to need about $100,000 to build that school. And so pray about that. You can be a part of that. Stay tuned to the end for contact information. Well, today we're going to be talking about part two of our series on the Holy Spirit. And as I spoke last week, the Holy Spirit is sometimes the forgotten part of the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all fully God, yet each is a separate person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not a wind. He is not a fire, though he comes as wind and he comes as fire, but he is a person of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, fully God. And we're going to explain, as Jesus did to the disciples, who the Holy Spirit is, how he walks with you, how he affects your life, and how you can access the power of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom and the comfort of the Holy Spirit by walking with the Lord. And so this is very important that you understand also that the power of the Holy Spirit is yours to have for your personal life. And that comes when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So the power to minister then comes from the Holy Spirit. We'll get into that later. But the power to minister, the power, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours to have. They're yours to take with you when you go to minister. And so that is all God's design, that you have a powerful ministry, that you not be walking around in timidity and fear, that you have the power to minister because the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you give you that power. Well, today we're going to be starting in John 14, 16. We took up this passage of scripture last week, John chapter 14, 16. You can turn your Bible to that passage And this is when Jesus tells the disciples that they're going to have a helper. And of course, they didn't understand any of this. Jesus had been with them at this point for about 3.5 years. And so he's telling them and preparing them for the day when he will be going to the cross, when he will be crucified and he will be taken from them. And they don't understand that. Of course, they don't understand the plan, although he's given them some degree of hints, some degree of understanding. But of course, they wanted Jesus to be with them. And so he was their leader, their helper. He was their guide. And so he was showing them many miracles. And so they wouldn't understand why he had to leave and why he had to go away. Well, in John 14:16, he tells them, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. And then in verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Then in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And so he calls him the helper, or in Greek language, that's the paraclete, the helper. And he also calls him the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. And so this is the exclusive domain of people who are born again, the exclusive domain of people who acknowledge and recognize and confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And so that's the reason that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, is because the Holy Spirit is fully God. He is the third person of the Trinity. The world cannot receive him because the world is outside the realm of the Christian faith. The world is outside the realm of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God. And so the world cannot receive him. And so the world will never understand the decisions that you make. The world will never understand the commitment that you have to your Christian walk, to your walk of faith. The world will never understand why you want to vote for a certain person who the world thinks is crazy and immoral and has done some things that are very troublesome and questionable. And so the world cannot understand because the world does not know the Holy Spirit and does not see him. And so therefore, you're going to be at odds with the world if you are a born-again believer. And if you're a new believer, just into the Christian walk, you've just recently, or maybe less than, say, 5 years into your Christian walk, you're not going to understand why the world is so much opposed to you and so much against you, even your own family, sometimes even people in the church. And you're not going to understand why your commitment to the Lord Jesus is so opposed by certain people. And you in the United States, you have to understand how blessed you are to be in that position where you have support. You have a village where most of the people, primarily in the United States, most of the people know about Jesus Christ, know about God, know about the Holy Spirit. And so there's a community think, you might say, there's a community think tank that supports you if you are a born-again believer. And when you get outside of the United States and you start to minister in places where there are many people of other faiths, many people of other religions, people who are atheist, agnostic, or just plain heathens and pagans, you understand how precious it is to grow up in the United States and how blessed it is to grow up in the United States and have a culture there and a community think tank or a community culture that supports the Bible, supports Scripture, supports a morality built on the Bible. And so even the laws that we practice in the U.S. and the laws that we enact all come from biblical laws, all come from the Ten Commandments. And so we're very, very blessed to have that opportunity in the U.S. to have the support of the community and the nation and the Congress and, for the most part, the politicians. So that is a blessing that you don't have in other places in the world. And so Jesus said, you're not going to understand why the world is so opposed to you, but the world does not know the Holy Spirit. The world has not received the Holy Spirit, but you will receive it, and I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Well, so you're going to have the Father, you're going to have the Son, and you're going to have the counsel of the Holy Spirit when Jesus leaves. Well, let's jump over then to John chapter 15. And Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So I guess you can take comfort in that, in knowing that whenever you suffer because you're a born-again believer and people persecute you, people attack you, maybe people even in your own family, you can't understand why they don't get along with you, why they criticize you, why they persecute you. Jesus said, just understand this, they hated me before they hate you. And in verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so this explains why you can go down to the bar and have 15 instant friends that want to drink with you. They'll buy you beer, you'll buy them beer, and you can pour out your problems to them. You can cry in your beer and cry on their shoulder. And that is because you're in the world with them. You have a common thread with them, and that is you're all part of the world. But those same people, if you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and confess Him, and you get excited about serving the Lord, those same people will come against you. They will speak against you. They will act like they don't know you, or even worse, persecute you. And so that is the way the world operates. And Jesus said, if you were of the world would love you because you are of the world. And so understand this, that you're going to be persecuted. If you are listening today and you're not a born-again believer, you've never confessed Jesus, understand this, you are going to be persecuted for your faith, for your walk of faith with Jesus Christ. And so get ready for it. And when the world hates you, understand that you have comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ was hated before He hated you. All right, remember the word, verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And so Jesus was persecuted, and you're no greater than Jesus Christ, and so you're going to be persecuted also. If you are a born-again believer and you're not suffering any persecution, you better get started doing more in your Christian faith. You better get started speaking more and walking in a greater walk in your Christian faith, because you will have persecution when you actually get excited about the Lord and when you actually go out and try to promote the Christian faith and evangelize and speak about Jesus in your circle of family, in your circle of friends, maybe on the radio, maybe on the TV. I don't know where the Lord wants to take you, but you're going to suffer persecution. And if you're not suffering persecution, you better look in the mirror and see how excited you are about the Lord Jesus Christ and about spreading the gospel in the nations of the world. And then in verse 23, John 15, he who hates me hates the Father also. And so you have to understand that when people speak against Jesus Christ, they're actually speaking also against Jehovah God. I live in a place here in Kenya where people talk about God all the time. You get on a boda-boda, a motorbike with someone, and he's saying, praise the Lord, and God is great, and all these kind of things. And you don't know if he's talking about the Christian faith. You don't know if he's talking about Muslim faith, Hindu faith. You don't know what faith he's talking about. You don't know what God he's talking about. And so when people here say, praise God, you just have to take it with a grain of salt, because they may hate Jesus Christ and they may hate God, the God of Jesus Christ, God the Father of Jesus Christ. They might hate him. And so you have to be very careful what you say around certain people. You have to be careful what you receive when people talk and talk about God, because most of the time in this area, you can get tricked, you can get fooled, and the people aren't talking about Jehovah God. They're not talking about the Son, Jesus Christ, of Jehovah God. All right, verse 26, John chapter 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. What does he testify? He testifies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He testifies that Jesus Christ is fully God. He was fully man, but he was fully God. He testifies that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that he took our sins upon his shoulder. He testifies that Jesus Christ shed his perfect, precious blood on the cross, and through him and by him, we can have eternal life when we confess the name of Jesus Christ. He testifies that the name of Jesus is greater than any other name. It's a name above all names, of all the names on the earth. He testifies that Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God. And so the testimony of the Holy Spirit is that he will testify of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit and God the Father, God the Son are in perfect unity. Nothing that they say, nothing that you hear from the Holy Spirit, nothing that you ever hear from God, if he speaks to you audibly or inaudibly, he speaks to you through his word. Nothing that they ever say will contradict each other. They're in perfect unity, perfect unison. And so the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so Jesus Christ is the baptizer. The Spirit comes from the Father, just like you have a pastor or an elder or somebody baptize you in water. Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, and he will baptize you into the Holy Spirit of God with the Holy Spirit of God. It comes from the Father, and Jesus Christ is the baptizer. When you confess Jesus Christ, then you are in position to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it happens at the very same time as water baptism. It can happen before water baptism, and it can also happen after water baptism when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's an invisible baptism. You don't see it. It's not similar to a water baptism in that you can see water baptism. It's very easy to see with your natural eyes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes through Jesus Christ. He is the baptizer. When you have confessed his name, then you are in position to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes from the Father, and Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes you. The baptism represents the testimony, and also you could say the testimony then speaks of the baptism. It speaks of the Trinity. It speaks of the death on the cross, the resurrection, all those things. The Holy Spirit will testify to you, and you will know that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God, living with you and in you, and you will be certain of that in your life. John 15:27, and you shall also bear witness. Now he's speaking specifically to the apostles. And you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning, to testify of what Jesus has done. And of course, we know that one of these apostles was Judas Iscariot, and the events of the crucifixion, the events of the resurrection, caused Judas Iscariot to be revealed and exposed, and he was in the position of the treasurer of the group of the apostles, and so Judas was stealing from the treasury, and he was also in a position where he betrayed Jesus to those who wanted to crucify him. And so Judas went out and he committed suicide, but he was one of the original 12 apostles. Okay, in verse 6, in chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus then says, "Nevertheless, that it is expedient for you that I go away." And this is the most shocking thing that Jesus said to the apostles. It shocked them totally. He couldn't have shocked them anymore by anything that he did when he said that. He said, "It is expedient for you." In other words, it is better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I do depart, I will send him unto you. And so at this point in time, the apostles are thoroughly confused. They can't understand how it's going to be better for them if Jesus goes away. They'd seen all the miracles. They wanted to see the miracles continue. And so if you put yourself in their place, you would understand also why you would want to keep walking with Jesus. Who wouldn't? But at some point in time, because Jesus was fully man, he would have died anyway. At some point in time, maybe your time is going to be up at 33 years of age. And so that was the time that Jesus went to the cross, and he tells the apostles that the blessings of the Holy Spirit will be better for them than Jesus actually going to walk with them for another 40 or 50 years. Well, John 16:8, Jesus goes on then to explain, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin, that is, the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he will convict the world of righteousness. That is because Jesus is total righteousness, and he had been declared righteous by the resurrection. Jesus presented himself, and the Holy Spirit presented the blood of Jesus to the Father, and because the Father accepted the sacrifice of Jesus' blood, the Father received it to himself in heaven, and then he received Jesus Christ to sit down at the right hand. Jesus proved that he is righteous. Jesus proved that he was the righteousness of God. And so we also have that righteousness of God when we accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so you can then rid yourself of the shame through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You can rid yourself of shame no matter what you have done in your life, no matter what kind of sins you have committed, what kind of a life you've lived. There's nothing you've done in your life that is too great for the blood of Jesus to cleanse you. There's nothing you've done in your life that is too great for the Holy Spirit to cleanse you of that shame and to raise you up. And he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that you could know the righteousness of God. And so when God looks at you, and when you are born again, when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because you have been cleansed, you have been washed, you have been set free, you have been delivered. And so he sees the righteousness of God when he sees you. So if you're walking around in shame for things that you've done 5 or 10 or 20 years ago, you can stop, start seeing yourself as God sees you, as the righteousness of God. And so the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, it convicts the world of righteousness, and it convicts the world of judgment, because Satan was judged at the cross, the devil was judged, he was defeated, and all who follow the devil will also be judged as defeated, but all who follow Jesus Christ will be judged as righteousness, and the condemnation of the devil and the condemnation of our unrighteous deeds are washed off of us, and we now have the righteousness of God. Well, then, it says then that in 16:8, Jesus finishes up that little teaching. He says, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And if I were preaching this in my church, I would tell the people, say all truth, because there's nothing that the Holy Spirit can't teach you. There's nothing that the Holy Spirit can't show you. Every detail of your life, the Holy Spirit wants to instruct you, teach you, comfort you, and guide you. Well, John 16:13, this is the last scripture we're going to have time for. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. That's where the gift of prophecy comes from. He can show you things to come because God is not bound by time. And he can also show you to the apostles. He could show them the new covenant that was coming. And so the Holy Spirit can teach you all truth, even things that you have not seen yet with your natural eyes. John 16:14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. And so it comes from the Father, and it comes from Jesus Christ. It's given to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit gives it to us. Well, that's all we're going to have time for today. This is so powerful. It's so big. And we just have to keep digging to learn more about it. We'll take up this scripture about the Holy Spirit again next week. Talk some more about it. Where did the Holy Spirit come from, and how did it get poured out? So tune in again next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We hope you join us to support this ministry. Sit down today, write us out a check. We'd love to hear from you. Include prayer requests if you have some, and we would love to pray with you over whatever you want us to pray for. And so we want to hear from you today. We thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.